So, please don't be upset with me. This is what I believe the Lord has given me. And also, I hope that no one ever thinks when I am speaking on certain things that I, myself, or I'm particularly trying to pick on any particular person in the congregation. I am not. So please, as I give you the word of God, take it as from the Lord and not as from Pastor Troy. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. But today we want to talk about why you should never miss church. Why you should never miss church. Now, again, if the shoe fits, wear it as we talk about these things, all right? And please, I never want you to misunderstand me. We have no problems. We are fully understanding when you have to work. You know, when you have a job, they tell you to come in on Sunday, you have to come in, praise God. I mean, I got to go in this evening again. I always tell them, don't mess with me on Sunday morning. I'm a pastor. I got to be at the church. Whether I'm preaching or not, I got to be here. Don't mess with me on Sunday morning. Sunday, you can get me on Saturday. You can get me on Sunday evening. Sunday morning, I got to be here. Praise God.
Amen.
Amen. They still be trying to call me, though. Called me from when I was preaching a couple weeks ago. But anyway, we understand it if you got to work. We understand it if you're sick. Praise God. If you're sick, you can't get up, you can't make it. You know, we understand that. We understand when you're in detrimental circumstances. You know, when you're dealing with things and you have to go out of town. So these are not the things I'm talking about. I'm just talking about I just don't feel like going today. I'm just too tired. I'm just this or I'm just that. We have to, there's a certain amount of discipline that we have to give ourselves. Praise God. Amen. And what we'll get more into, let's look at Hebrews chapter 10. I'm actually going to read this to you from the New Century Version. I didn't have time because of the lateness of my having to speak this today. I didn't realize that I was going to have to teach on this today. And so because we were so busy yesterday doing so many different things, I didn't have time to really put together a PowerPoint presentation. So you just pay close attention. We have about 9 points. Next week I was going to have somebody else speak, but if I don't finish this today, then I'll finish it up next week, and then the speaker who's supposed to come next week will do it after that. But Hebrews chapter 10, beginning at verse 24, says, "Let us think about each other and help each other to show love and do good deeds. You should not stay away from the church meetings, as some are doing, but you should meet together and encourage each other. Do this even more as you see the day approaching. If we decide to go on sinning after we learn the truth, there is no longer any sacrifice for sins." Let me read this to you also from the Truth Translation. It's a translation by one of my favorite Bible teachers, Apostle Colin Urquhart. How many of y'all know that God has apostles today? That ministry gift has not ceased. How many of y'all know that God has prophets today? That ministry gift has not ceased either. Nowhere in the scripture does it say that any of the ministry gifts, any of the gifts of the Spirit has ever ceased during any period of time. Praise God. And it says in the Truth New Testament, "What is more, we can encourage one another to walk in love, blessing one another in practical ways. We certainly must not give up meeting together as some have mistakenly done. No, we need the encouragement of being together as one body, and even more so as we eagerly await the day when the Lord will return. But of what value is this great sacrifice that Christ has made for us if we deliberately continue to sin against him, even though we have received the knowledge of the truth?" Praise God. So we have to make an endeavor to be faithful to assembling ourselves. Church and meeting together cannot be a convenience thing. It cannot be a thing where if I want to, then I will. If I don't, it's not anybody's business but my own. We got to meet together. It's important. And I'm going to show you some of the reasons that I felt the Lord gave me why it's important. And I was praying yesterday, after I found out that I was going to have to speak, I had a totally different message. It was called the Christ-like Jesus. That's what I was going to preach on. But then as I was praying and the Lord began to speak to me and he started giving me these things in my spirit. And so I said, oh, Lord, that's great. I think I'll preach on that in the near future. And the Lord said, no. He said, you go grab a pen and you write this down because you're preaching on it tomorrow. So when the Lord tells you you're going to do something, you know what you're going to do? You're going to do it. Praise God. So the first thing we learn is that we are commanded by God himself to be faithful to church services. That's the first thing the Lord told me. He commands us to be faithful to this. It's not so much for my convenience. You know, the Lord says, well, if you want to, you can. If you don't worry about it. I got your back. You know, God loves you regardless. Praise God. Amen. God, failure to go to church is disobedience. But it's not because God wants to put unreasonable demands on us. God never, ever tells us to do something simply because he likes to just be a control freak. God is not a control freak. Say that with me. Say, God is not a control freak. There are some people who just love power. They just want to be able to control people, tell people what to do, boss people around. That's not God. God tells us to do things because he knows it's for our good. A control freak just wants to boss people around so that they can exert their power and their influence. God tells people what to do and gives commands because he is concerned about their well-being. Praise God. God told Adam and Eve not to eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil because he knew what would happen. God tells you today, don't commit adultery because he knows the dire consequences of doing that. God tells you today not to go and do drugs and get involved in those type of things because he knows what it will do. It will destroy you, praise God. God tells you not to go out and get vengeance but to forgive because we are learning now through medical studies that unforgiveness can affect your health. Praise God. That's why God commands and demands these things, not because he wants to just be able to just boss you around, but because he cares about you. And God wants us to assemble together because he loves us and he knows that it's important that we do so. Praise Jesus. Everybody who forsakes the assembling of themselves together, and I'm moving ahead of myself, but I'll say this real quick and then we'll show scripture on it later. But everybody I know who has stopped going to church has backslidden and are no longer serving the Lord. And that's what happens to people. But God never commands anything unless it is for our benefit. Say that with me. Say, God never commands anything unless it's for our benefit. Let me tell you something. God is the epitome of unselfish love. And he is always looking out for your best interests. That's why God commands and demands certain things.
That's why God loves you too.
Yes, that's right, my brother. That's why God loves you. So God demands that we don't miss assembling ourselves together is only because he knows that the failure to do so will be detrimental to our spiritual health. It's not his will that to punish us. Let me give a whole bunch of commands so I have a reason to punish them. That's not his desire. God is not looking to punish you. Say, God is not looking to punish you. Man, that's not going to sound like y'all believe that. Say, God is not looking to punish me. See, what we do, we put ourselves in a position. We often, when we sin against God, we put ourselves in a position
to where God has to deal with us or abandon us so that we leave ourselves open to spiritual attacks from the devil and demons.
So, but it is not God's will for any of that to happen. But when we say, okay, God, I ain't got to obey you, forget you. Then we put ourselves in that position. God was, he cried one time. He was saying, he was talking about the Israelites. Oh, if they would just obey my commands so that it would go well for them. God loves you so much. He just wants things to go well for you. God wants things to go well for you so badly. Now, that doesn't mean you're not going to have trials if you obey God. Let me tell you something, baby. I've been obeying God, and I still go through. But I go through with God's help. Amen. It's a big difference between going through something and God ain't with you and going through something horrible, but God is with you. Praise God. Amen. I tell you, I'm glad to have God with me when I'm going through some things. So it's not God. God doesn't desire to just punish people. He wants to do things in your life, and that's why he's asking you or commanding you to be a part of the assembly of the saints. The second thing, or the second reason why God wants you to be a part of the, assembling yourselves together, not to forsake this thing, is because you were created for fellowship. Say, I was. Created for fellowship. In the book of Genesis, chapter 2, verses 18 through 20, God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And then God, just to show him his need, had Adam go and name all the animals. Adam was a genius, you know that? The man could name all the animals. You know, I mean, millions and billions of God's creatures, and I still don't know the names. I mean, sometimes I can't tell between a cheetah and a cougar. But Adam was able to name a cougar, a cheetah, an elephant. I mean, he knew he could do it. God had given that man genius equivalent. But see, one of the things he noticed as he was naming all these animals, he saw that there was no helpmeet or no companion that was compatible to him. And so God created a woman to be with him because he needed fellowship. Praise God. You see, God created, but I want you to understand something. This might be some revelation to some of you. God created man in his image and his likeness. Do you know, man, that God is not just, there's not just one person in the Godhead. There is one God. But God is not just one person. There are three distinct individuals in the person called God. There is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. All three are one. All three are separate. Do you know that they were fellowshipping from all of eternity? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So when you were created for fellowship. Praise God. Amen. Because you were created to be just like God. God has everlasting fellowship with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. They fellowship together. They enjoy each other. They love one another. And you were created just for that purpose. But I can't emphasize enough how unselfish God is. You know, the reason why many of us have children, some of us have children for selfish reasons, but others, we have children because we just have a desire to express love. Praise God. Amen. Some of you women want to get married and have babies so bad. You know that there's going to be some pain in having a baby. But you still want that baby because you need to express love. Praise God. Well, you know, that's the Father is so full of love. They're so full of love that they have to express that love to somebody. And that was the reason why you and I were created. We were created out of an act of love. Praise God. So God wants to fellowship with you. And he wants you and I to fellowship with one another. Praise God. He created us not just to fellowship with him, but for us to fellowship corporately together. You know, one of the things I love about all three of my children is that they enjoy each other most of the time. I mean, they had their fights and their arguments and stuff. But like even last night, my son goes up to my daughter's room and I can hear them all just laughing and everything. And I just enjoy that. I'm just happy when they're all getting along.
You know, I know Miami doesn't like it when Martha and Harrison and Lydia are beating each other's brains out. So nobody likes it when we don't want to speak to each other, you know, don't want to talk to each other. It's one of the worst things for a parent when somebody says they don't want to come to the family reunion, anything like that. Well, what do you think about God? God wants his family together, praise God.
Amen.
He wants us meeting corporately together. And so God created us for fellowship with one another. So we got to learn to understand the need for fellowship. Someone who claims to be a true born-again Christian but has no desire to fellowship with others, you might want to take a re-look at this and ask yourself, or ask God, why is it, if I'm supposed to be a Christian, why don't I like fellowshipping with other people? Ask yourself that sometime, if you're like that. Me, I get on my wife's last nerve sometimes because she knows I just love being around people. And I'm as shy as I am, I love people. I can't stand not being around the saints. I can't stand it. You know, I mean, sometimes I got to get solitary sometimes and get before God by myself. But there are times when I need some me time. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Because sometimes there are some saints that can drain you. that's to be truthful about it. But I love being around y'all. I love being around y'all. You guys are my heart. I love you so much. Amen. I know you love me, baby. See, I wouldn't have that kind of fun if I wasn't around Tommy. All right. But praise God. I love being around the saints. And you should love being around one another. So you were created for fellowship. Say, I was created for fellowship. Praise God. The third thing is, we are a body. We are a body. We're an ecclesia. We're a called out people. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you're taking notes, just write down 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But 1 Corinthians 12, 12 through 27 emphasizes the point that I want to make to you. I'm just going to read to you a couple of verses. Begin at verse 12, it says, For if the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. I want you to see this here. For by one Spirit, that's talking about the Holy Spirit, are we all baptized into one body. Say one body.
One body.
All right. You know, there's several local churches, many God-fearing local churches. Sometimes we all get together and congregate with these local churches because we're all one body. But God also has several local bodies. But the fact is, we are all one body. He baptized us into one body. I want you to understand there is no such thing as lone Christianity. Praise God. You cannot be a lone Christian. I'm by myself. That's just like the finger saying, I have no need of you. That's exactly what Paul says here when you read further down. If I'm the ear, when can the ear say, I have no need of the rest of the body?
He's in trouble.
Thank you, Pastor Chris. Let me tell you something. Thank God I got all my members in my body. Praise God.
Amen.
But I've seen people with stones cut off. Some people don't even have. I got a friend of mine over in Guam. We're real good friend of mine. He has no hands. He has to use these metal things. And he does a good job with them. But I know it's difficult for him. It's a hard thing when one of your members are gone. Let me tell you something. You may miss that member, but guess what happens to that member? It no longer functions. If I was to lose my finger right now, you know what would happen to that finger? There would be no life. See, because it's cut off from the body. It's cut off from the blood flow. It's cut off from the source of life. That's what Jesus says in John chapter 15. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you get, the vine is the source of life.
Anytime a branch is cut off from the vine, it withers. Jesus said it himself. He said,
you will wither and you will die, and you will be thrown into the fire.
So anytime you cut yourself off from the source of life, you can wither and die. I've seen it happen time and time and time again. People forsake the assembling of themselves together. They say, well, I don't need church. I can watch TV and I can watch Joyce Meyer and Kenneth Copeland and all of them. And they don't need, I don't need to be at church anymore. They always end up backsliding and turning away from God. Praise God.
Amen.
Can you call Kenneth Copeland and get counseling? Can you call Charles Stanley and receive counseling?
No. Can you call James D. Kennedy? D. James? No, because he's with the Lord now. He's still the show, still on TV. Thank God. I love that man. But you can't call any of these guys and receive the help that you need, that you would if you establish yourself within a local body. Now, these are good supplemental things for you. Praise God. Thank God for Christian television. I will never cut down Christian television. Christian television has been a blessing to me personally. Praise God. But Christian television is supplemental to my being within the local body. I can't fellowship with anybody through TV. Amen?
Amen.
I have to fellowship with the saints. Glory to God. And some of the best teachings the best teachers I've ever heard have never been on television. I'm telling you now. There are teachers, man, my teacher when I was in Okinawa, Japan, my pastor, that man could teach his behind off. He was on a local TV station, but he was never on a national figure. But that was one of the best Bible teachers I've ever heard in all my life. Pastor Paul E. Terry. Glory to God. So you get some of the best Bible teaching if you just go to a local fellowship. Praise Jesus. The fourth thing, church attendance provides opportunity to render service and acts of love toward one another. You can read that in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 through 9. Let's just turn there real quickly. Romans chapter 12. We get opportunities to perform services and acts of love towards one another. Romans chapter 12, verse 4 says, for as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy, according to the proportion of faith. For ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence. He that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Let love be without dissimulation. Abhor that which is evil. Cleave to that which is good. Praise God. And verse 10 goes on to say, be kindly affectionate one to another with brotherly love. In honor, preferring one another. That means esteeming others higher than yourself. Praise Jesus. You know, in other words, if I don't want to come to church, I don't want to be around y'all, it's sort of an unselfish act. It's sort of unselfish on my part. Because I don't want to use my talent, I don't want to use my gifts to help you. Every time, and the Lord showed me this about myself. Every time I wanted to quit, every time I said, I'm tired of casting, I'm fed up with it, I don't want to do it no more, every time God has told me, you are selfish. You're not concerned about the people, you're concerned about yourself and your well-being. That hurt me. Because he had given me a gift to pastor. He had given me a gift to teach. He had given me a gift, and I wanted to forsake it for my own convenience, for my own personal fulfillment or gratification or whatever. So you know what? I'm doing this out of, first of all, my love for Jesus. Second of all, my love for you. I love y'all. I love y'all so much. And so we're here to serve and be a blessing to one another out of the same unselfish love that Jesus had that took him to the cross. Praise God. Amen. Some other scriptures you can look at, we won't look at today, is Colossians chapter 3, verses 15 through 17. It tells you how you need to use your gifts in service and acts towards God. And the importance of assembling together in order to be able to do that. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. Let me read that to you from the easy to read version. It says, so brothers and sisters, what should you do? When you meet together, say meet together. One person has a song. Another person has a teaching. Another person has a new truth from God. Another person speaks in a different language. Talking about, in the King James Version, that would say tongues. And another person interprets that language. The purpose of all these things should be to help the church grow strong. Amen?
Amen.
See, for too long, Christianity was performance-based. The church I grew up in, you know, you had the choir, a few people, select people in the choir sung, and then the preacher got up and entertained you for the rest of the service. There's nothing wrong with that kind of preaching as long as there's some word involved in it. Praise God.
Amen.
You know, when this gets up there and say, I ate a Snickers bar last night. Amen! No, we... now we're getting... I mean, I heard some people say some silly stuff and everybody's, yeah! Yeah! Now, I've heard some other... You know, now I've heard some good preaching like that. I sat there and got excited because the man, he was preaching the word of God. Praise God. So I enjoy that kind of preaching when it's based on God's word. Amen. We thank God for Elder Steve and Minister Mary who got stuck on the road coming here. He got stuck in traffic, but they made it anyhow. Praise God.
Amen.
Now here's an example of what I'm of the positive side of this message. These folks. And I'm just going to brag on them just for a little bit, if y'all don't mind. Because they're an example to us. These folks live in Boston. They live in Boston. They were stuck on the road. They called me before the service and said, Pastor Troy, we're stuck on the road, but we made it anyway. Some of y'all would have said, well, let's take the next exit, turn around, and go back home.
Yeah.
But they got here. These folks come here when it's snowing. We have a snowstorm. And they said, Pastor, are we having service today? I said, yeah, but y'all stay home. It's too long of a drive for you. It's snowing. And then I come here, and there he is with a shovel. Shoveling out the walkway. And I'm mad. I'm like, why didn't you stay home? I get concerned about them. But they don't miss church. Praise God. Amen. And some of us, we live like down the street, and we don't want to be here sometimes. So, I thank God for them. And they use their gifts and their talents for what God has called them to do. Even though we're doing good time, I want to get you out of here a little early today. So y'all can swallow this message. And if Pastor Christick don't mind, I'll finish this up next week and then we'll let him preach. Praise God. We'll let him preach the week after next. Alright. The fifth thing I want to talk about, we got nine things. But the fifth thing I want to deal with in this message is the fact that corporate settings bring greater manifestation of God's presence and power. Say that with me. Say corporate settings
bring greater manifestations
of God's presence
and power.
Turn with me to Matthew chapter 18. Listen, y'all.
You got to understand that there is no such thing as a one. No man is an island. There's no, you know, the day of the super preacher is gone. You hear me? The days of A.A. Allen and all those guys who, you know, Oral Roberts, a great man of God, had just passed away a few months ago. You know, those days are gone. God is expecting a corporate anointing now. Praise God. God wants a corporate anointing. That will be, see, some of y'all wonder, how come we don't see the miracles? How come we don't see, I mean, we see some miracles here. We've seen God heal. We've seen God do some deliverance. We don't see the manifestation like we would like to.
I mean, we read the book of Acts and we read the times of Jesus, and Jesus is saying we're supposed to be able to do not only things he did, but greater things. And that's not, and that's talking about the miracles, praise God. And we read these things and we don't see them happening. We say, what's going on? What's wrong with Pastor Troy? How come he's not moving as strongly in the power as he should be? It's not about Pastor Troy. It's about all of us, praise God. It's a corporate thing. It's a corporate anointing. It's us all together praying together, seeing God move together, allowing God to manifest himself in the midst of our presence, or his presence in our midst. I'm sure by now you found Matthew 18. Let me turn to it. We will deal with this last point and we'll hit the other 4 points next week. So don't miss church next week, or we already find out that you don't believe the message. Matthew 18. Matthew 18, beginning verse 18. For verily I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Again I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now I want you to notice something here in verse 20. It doesn't say for where one or two are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. It says where two or three. That means it has to be more than just one person to see a manifestation, a real manifestation of God's power. Now it doesn't mean that you don't have your own individual prayer life. It doesn't mean you don't have your own individual fellowship with God, because I do. And I've seen God do some wonderful things. Let me tell you something. I've seen God manifest himself with more power when I pray with my wife, for example. I remember the struggle I was having before we came here to Rhode Island. And I was about to lose my job. They told me, basically, you only got one more year, and then we can't extend you no more because of the way the system was. They had already extended me 3 times more than what they should have, and so they couldn't do it anymore. And so I was in a place where I'm like, I don't know what to do. And so all the praying I did by myself just wasn't working. Finally, I got this great revelation. Let me pray with my family. And so me and my wife and Terry. Terry's just a little kid back then, but she's a young lady of great faith, praise God. And she still is. I'm going to let Terry get up and tell you some of the testimonies that God has been doing in her own life and answering her own prayers. But not today. But as we prayed, it was a more, after me and my wife and my daughter prayed together, then God almost immediately started working in our situation and helping us. And that's one of the reasons why we're here in Rhode Island today, is because of family prayer and agreement together. God will do more with us as we work together, as we pray together, than he does separately. One can put 1,000 in flight. Two can put how many in the flight? Y'all know the scripture? Deuteronomy. It says one can put 1,000 in flight. Two can put, who said it?
10,000.
10,000. Thank you, Mary. Prayer power is increased tenfold by your prayer. Not just double, it is increased tenfold by us coming together. Praise God. Imagine the great things we can do if all of us was to come to Monday night prayer. First of all, we couldn't fill Pastor Chris's apartment, so we definitely would have to be praying for a new building. Praise Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. But if we come together and we start praying together more often, then that building will come. See, some of y'all depend too much on the pastors to do all these things. I get frustrated because I say, God, why? Why isn't this happening? I'm doing my best. And the Lord will tell me it's not just going to be you. You got to work with your people. I put them there. You need to work with them. And I said, but Lord, they ain't got no faith.
I said that about my wife once and the Lord rebuked me. So, but we, seriously though, you demonstrate your faith by your actions. Praise God.
Amen.
If you're not at prayer, you're not at Bible study, then I have to question whether how strong your faith is. Unless you're working, of course, you know. So, you know, like some people like to at least work at night, some of the rest of y'all. And then there's some people that live in Boston, things like that. But I'm talking about those of you who can make it and just don't. We got to assemble together. We've got to pray together. If you really care about seeing God move, if you really care about seeing God do something with this ministry, it's not my ministry. It's not Pastor Christic's ministry. It's our ministry. Praise God.
Amen.
God just has to have a leader. That's all. It's not. The leader doesn't own this thing. The visionary doesn't own this thing. God gives the visionary something, and then he brings the people in order to lead them, and you all use your gifts and your talents to move this thing forward. Praise Jesus. Hey, man, I was so glad to have somebody up there singing with me today. I'm telling you, it's been hard the past couple of years doing it by myself. Thank God for this young man about to take over.
Amen.
Glory to
Amen.
God. Glory
Hallelujah.
To God. Glory to God.
Amen.
Amen. So, power is manifested 100-fold. A true, sincere presence of God comes in as God's people assemble together corporately. So these are some of the reasons why it's very important. Let me tell you, you are important. You are vital. You're not here just to be an audience. I want you to understand that you're not here to be my audience or be the audience of some speaker. You are here because you are important towards the work that God has for this particular ministry. Listen, Pastor Christian already got up here and told you his heart concerning evangelism, concerning missions work. We got to do this thing together. It can't just be me and Pastor Christian. We already wearing ourselves out now. Or at least I'm being worn out, because this brother, I don't know where he gets his energy from, I'm telling you. And I'm like, man, give me a break sometimes. He wants to do this and wants to do that, and we have worn ourselves out, and he still wants to keep going. Glory to God. And I just keep going with him because he's a missionary, praise God. I'm a pastor, he's a missionary. But we work, we need one another. He brings them in, I cleans them up. All right. But the thing is that it's not just us. It's not just our responsibility. God's going to reward you for the souls you bring to Christ.
Mm-hmm.
God's going to reward you for the things you do, for the gifts you use. Sometimes, some of y'all get up and just sing a song on Sunday, and the anointing is so strong on you that it doesn't matter what the preacher says, you just get saved. Let me tell you real quick how I got saved, and then we'll turn it over to Pastor Christian. When I got saved, it was because a man invited me to church. My friend Cliff McGowan, who's going to be hopefully coming here sometime within either this year or sometime next year, bring forth the word of God to us and minister to us. But Cliff McGowan invited me to church one day. The next Sunday, I said, you know what? I'm giving my life to Christ. You know something? That next Sunday I went to church, I don't even know what that man preached on. I was not even paying attention to him. I said, I wish you would shut up and give the altar call so I can come up there and give my life to Christ. It was not even the preaching that did anything for me. It was the fact that this other man who was not preaching that Sunday, shared the gospel with me, brought me to church, told me that I need to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, and I don't know why I waited until Sunday, because you don't have to wait until Sunday. But thank God he had mercy on me. That Sunday, I said, I don't care what this man is saying. I just wish he shut up so I can give my life to Christ. Praise God.
Amen.
You make a difference in people's lives. Don't think that it has to be the pastor. Don't think that it has to be the evangelist. It's you. If you use your... Sometimes I've known people
that have been touched by somebody else who's getting up there singing, or somebody else getting up there doing a praise dance, or somebody else getting up there and just reading a poem, or doing some type of drama. Whatever that gift was, God used it to win somebody else or to encourage somebody else. God needs you. Say, God needs me.
God needs me.
Now listen, when I say that, that doesn't mean God needs you for his existence, okay? I mean, I need my wife, but I don't need her. What I mean by that is if my wife wasn't around, I could still cook, I could still clean, I wouldn't die, I'd survive. But because of the things she does for me and she done spoiled me, I need her. Praise God. Amen. I don't need her for my existence.
God needs you because he has decided that you are going to be his hands, his legs, his fingers, his toes, his ears, his mouth. That's why you're part of a body. Amen?
Yeah.
God needs all his members.
And in my hand is way out in South Dakota, and the rest of my body is here. My hand ain't helping me, is he? No. If I'm getting up in the morning and my hand says,
Pastor Troy, I ain't going to church today. You just leave me alone. Imagine how I'd have a difficult time preaching, y'all.
Y'all call me the one-hand preacher. My hand's at home sleeping. So it's vitally important that we understand the importance of assembling together. Now we got a couple more points I'll give you next week. And then after that, we'll move on to some other things. Praise God.
Amen.
Pastor Christy, come on up.